Let's stand together if you would like. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Sweet Father, Lord, we just love and adore you. Lord, your grace and mercy. Father, we can see in our lives, Father, when we stop and meditate. Lord, and think back of all that you've done for us. We're truly so appreciative. Lord, we just ask that you would bless us tonight. Each and every one that's gathered here, Lord. Father, we're needy people, Lord. We come to draw strength, Lord, revelation from your word. And we're so thankful that opportunity is here for us still. Bless us now, Lord. May your will be done in every phase of the service, as we'll give you the glory and honor in your precious holy name. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hey, turn with me, if you would, in our capstone books. Make the same page 35. Start there. Yeah, love lifted me. Nope. Sorry about that. Page turned 78. Camping in Canaan's land. There we go. I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauties grand. Glory, hallelujah. I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys, and across the desert sands. I've landed safe at home where I live. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Led by Jesus to that blessed land of story. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauties grand. Camping in that land, resting. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful. Page 68, over just a few pages there. Hallelujah. I saw the light. So thankful, saints. Amen.
I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in.
Victory, oh victory. Hallelujah, I'm free. Amen. Can you say that, saints?
Hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus' full salvation brought. Oh victory, oh victory. Let the powers of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail. Oh victory.
Victory in Jesus. Yes. Amen. He's so wonderful. wonderful. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up for the offering? Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus. More and more. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus. More and more.
Praise His name. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have something on your heart? A request, a need? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request? Song tonight. Amen. Praise His name. Right, you got something, Karen, tonight? Ask if you've got.
let's all stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus, only believe, is ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Evening. Amen. Thank God for the precious opportunity together with saints of like precious faith and listen to the precious songs and to feel the challenge. I pray as the sisters sing that song, it causes a challenge to burn in your heart. God had someone. It's been preordered. And by God's grace, that someone, I'm one of them. As we just bow our heads for a moment of prayer, precious Lord, as we've come to this time of gathering around your word and recalling to our remembrance, Lord, the things that you've written and left to us. Lord, just praying that you will stir these few words to our hearts in a greater manner, Lord, and may it help someone along the way. And Lord, just do a work in our lives to continue to draw us closer to you and to keep encouraging us, Lord, to keep pressing. And Lord, to keep just letting you have your way and yielding to you. And Lord, we just ask it all to your glory and to your honor. And we just commit ourselves unto you, Lord, for the remainder of this service and asking that your will be done. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, you can turn with me. We'll just turn over to Amos and just read a real quick scripture, and then you can be seated for amen in Amos, third chapter. I didn't mark it. Amen. Amos 3 and verse 7 and 8 there. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, and who can but prophesy? May the Lord bless me his word, and you may be seated. I'd kind of like to, last Thursday evening as I was reading some of the things I read, and I'd just like to pick back up just a little bit and share with you some more quotes and a little bit of some things the prophet said in the message, Look Unto Me, as he was speaking, and just like to refresh our minds. I pray it'll be refreshing to you as it was to me, but I'd like to turn back over here to Luke, the 24th chapter, so this is fresh in our minds. And the last time we started about the 13th verse, but to save a little time, we'll just pick back up there about the 23rd verse in Luke, the 24th chapter. And just let these things be fresh in your heart. Yes. And in Luke 24, 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then they said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all scriptures and the things concerning himself. What a sermon. And you know, we might be able to sit here tonight and say, oh, I'd like to have been there and heard that. But with revelation, the same God that was speaking to them is speaking to you and I tonight. Yes, and has been through his precious word for many years. Yes, and all each time, it's how precious it is. Amen. As each time we have that opportunity to have him take the scriptures and break the bread of life down to us. Yes. How it ought to just make a combustion in our hearts to have that moment of time. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures and the things concerning himself.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat with meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? And oh, what a great joy it brings to be able to sit under God's precious Word. And whether someone's bringing it to us fresh, or whether we're reading the Scripture for ourselves, or whether we're sitting listening to the prophet bring a message and hear that, just there's just something about it that you can just feel it churn down on the inside. And it just has such a reality to it. But it's a special predestinated receiver that catches that. But if you'll remember last Thursday evening, I want to read this little piece here. This was in Modern Events Made Clear Prophecy, preached December 6, 1965. I won't read all of it, but just a portion of verse 18. It says, If the people in the days of the Lord Jesus would have only sought God and knowed what was just about to take place, they would not have condemned Jesus to death. And just that little key, if the people would have only sought God. And today people are so quick to shut God off with, well, brother so-and-so said it's like this, so don't tell me nothing different. But if we could only but take that attitude to seek God for a revelation and say, Lord, you show me. Don't immediately shut him off. Don't shut him down, but give God an opportunity to take his word and show us. Maybe something we thought we had a grasp on, but maybe God needs to show us a greater height, a greater measure. But we've got to keep a mind open to what God is trying to reveal to us under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if it's something that's coming from God's Word and it's not maybe the way you thought you'd heard it in the past, it's time to stop what you're doing and seek the Lord for the revelation of His precious Word. And let God take the confusion out of it. Don't just accept it because I'm in a new church and this is the way they believe it. That's what I'm going to grab a hold of. That's what my church said. No. It's got to be a personal revelation to you to have that vindication take place in our lives, that God is fully going to manifest himself through a predestinated people. And then I had read this in the message, when their eyes were opened. And Brother Branham was speaking here. This was preached April 16, 1964, paragraph 27. And he was talking, he said, no one can interpret God. God is his own interpreter. God speaks his word. And they say, well, you've got the wrong interpretation. And God makes it comes to pass. That's the interpretation. He don't need anybody to interpret him. I just spoke on that in the city, so I'm going to drop down into paragraph 28. He says, many today hasn't listened to the message and hasn't listened to the scripture of what Christ promised in these last days. And that's the reason people are in the condition they are today. And the churches are all gummed up among one another. They haven't noticed what the scripture said for this day. And how important it is, as Brother Branham also put it this way in that message, My Commission, as he said, Now I'm just your brother by the grace of God. Paragraph 40. This was preached in May 5th, 51. But when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you. And maybe I offended you by saying that, forgive me. But I felt that might have been resented. But I am God's voice to you. And I see, I say that again. That time was under inspiration, you see. And I felt bad about it the first time. But it repeated it. And I can't say nothing in myself. But what he shows me, I say it. Amen. And in the message, leadership, I don't have it with me, but there's a little spot in there as he was speaking, and he said, if you believe me to be God's prophet, you listen to my words. Yes. And oh my, what a consolation that ought to bring to our hearts, to prick our hearts when it's coming from God's precious word. Yes. And how cautious we must be. God has a provided channel for that word to come. And we must be careful that we don't get outside that channel and think I can just accept something because somebody said it, or because it's this way, or I heard so-and-so say it was like this. But it's got to come channeled through God's precious word. Yes, and when it does, it'll bring a revelation. And if it's a revelation, it'll bring a vindication in your life. God will interpret it through you. Amen. That it'll bring your body under subject to that precious word just exactly the way he proclaimed it. And how how real that should be to us as we see this day, the time fast approaching. What an assurance it ought to bring to our hearts. To have that confidence that I'm not believing a message because other people are. I'm not following God because other people are. But I'm following because God's dealt with my heart as an individual. And it's wonderful to have brothers and sisters in Christ. But you've got to have that determination. If only one can win the prize, that one's going to be me. And God has called me to this. And maybe each one of us has got to have that determination burning in our heart. I've been chosen for this. I'm not just running this because my wife thinks she was chosen. No, I was chosen. And I pray each one of us has that burning in our heart. I have been chosen for this purpose. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. This word is speaking to me. This is my portion. And Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. But here in the message, Looking Unto Jesus, this was preached January 22nd, 1964. And just to catch a little bit of what he began to say here, I'm going to read quite a bit of what the way he put it here as he was trying to make a point. He had read the scripture in Isaiah 45 and 22 saying, "Look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And he went on down here, he says, "I know that isn't very much scripture, but that's sufficient because it's eternal and it's God's words. And if I should call this for a text now, for 20 minutes, I'd like to say, looking unto Jesus." And as he goes on to break this down now, as he read that scripture over here on page 2, paragraph 11, he says, "Now God is saying here, look unto me, I am God and there is none other. And I wonder in a time that we're living in now, what we look to, what we would be more solid than, what could we look to that would be more solid than God? And God is the Word. So look to the Word of God today for your answer. The Bible has the answer for this day. And it's had it for other days, and it's got it forever, because it's Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." So many people, as soon as they hear something, they want to run to somebody else and instantly ask their opinion. What did you hear Brother Branham say? Instead of going and seeking the one that wrote the word. And it's good to go and consult with your pastor. That's where you should go. But don't draw a conclusion based off somebody else's opinion. But go to God in prayer and let God direct you to the word. And let God anchor it in your heart with a revelation. And you watch the revelation of it vindicate itself. You watch it come forth just exactly. God will not let his word go out void. It'll return. He says, God is saying here, look unto me. He says, Christ the same yesterday and forever. The Bible has the answer because the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, being revealed since the foundation of the world. He has been revealed in the form of the prophets. He's been revealed in the form of kings. And he's been revealed in the form of lawgivers, because that's what he is. King, prophet, lawgiver, and God. Look to me. And you say, I've done that. It depends on what you've looked at, determines what you look at and where and what you look for him. What are you looking at? What purpose do you have in looking at him? And it only depends on what you look for. That's what you're going to find. Usually people come to a meeting, a religious gathering, and some of them go to find a big crowd of people to sit with. And some, I hate to say, but it's true. Some go to church just to show their clothes they're wearing. And some goes to church because they say this is the biggest church in the city, and it's got the best name. And a certain class of people go to this church, and that's wrong. You see, you're not looking at the right thing. The church is, you're not looking at the right thing that the church is established for. God said, look to me. Many people will go to service just to be seen. And sometimes people go to services. This is too bad to say this, and we linger on it for a long time, but they go to church with their mind already made up before they go. If certain things is said or something just against their idea, they'll get right up and walk out, and they'll just simply will not stand because they got their own idea on what it must be. That's the very reason that Jesus was not understood when he came to earth. If they would have only looked in the word of God instead of their tradition for the day, they would have known he was the Son of God, because the Bible plainly declared his full coming and in the full revelation of the word. And each generation reveals him in the full revelation that's allotted for that time. And this generation must reveal Jesus Christ That's the revelation of him that's promised in the word. Must be revealed to this generation. If the churches won't receive it, somebody will rise up and do it. Because John said, God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. Don't think to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for God is able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. For what God has said, God is fully able to perform. And what he has promised to do, our father Abraham realized that against hope he believed in hope and staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God because God made him the promise. Yeah. It just think about that. It doesn't matter what anyone else has got to say. God made the promise. Yes. And if I'll accept it on God's provided basis, you watch God fulfill that promise to you the same as he did to Abraham. It isn't about what somebody else says that promise is, but what did God promise God make me as an individual? You watch God fulfill that to me. And as we look at people, as we say they didn't seek God, and how at the time when Jesus was here, as we was talking about his signs and wonders and how it attracted the people, and that's the purpose it was for, to realize. And oh, what a prophet mighty indeed. But soon as he began to speak the word, look, they began to leave him. And then Paul, the same thing happened. And as Brother Branham's going to call that to our attention, I want you to look at this as he plainly has to put it down here in word form with a type. But oh, it was written for our admonition and for anyone that may take the time to listen to what we're bringing and reading back to or rehearse our hearts to. Don't shut God off, but give him an opportunity to open up your understanding to his precious word. And don't be quick to judge what you hear, but let God bring it into a reality for you. Yes. He said, for what God, he's able to perform because God made the promise. And he's made the promise for this day. He made us a promise, and our promise today is just as sure to be revealed as it was to Abraham. For we are the children of Abraham. Being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. So many people come in and draw up their opinion and said in a full gospel meeting or any other meeting, and they'll just wait for a few moments until something is said that they don't agree with, and then up and out. They just won't stay to hear anymore. They won't stay to see if there was what the truth of it is. And we say, is that the spirit? Where did that come from? It's always been that come from Genesis. It was down through the scripture. When Paul was speaking one time, rather, to a group of people, they listened to him closely as long as he stayed in the law. As long as he stayed within their rituals of what they knew, their traditions, they were willing to listen to him. But when he began to tell about the revelation in the heavenly vision, quickly it changed the congregation. They rose up to screaming. If they'd have just listened to what the man said, he was revealing the truth of God by the word. And some time ago in a big city in the United States, I was invited for a revival. And just very few people were there turned out. Probably in the entire revival, there was no more than is right in this building tonight. And I thought, well, would be a big breakfast, a free breakfast. And I'd taken my love offering to make the breakfast free to some of the believers. And I'll drop down just a little bit to paragraph 25. He says, and that morning, Brother Dr. Lee Vell was my speaker at the campaign, and he had introduced me to the audience. And after the breakfast, I took this text. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And just in a moment, I noticed a minister look at his watch, reach over, nodded his head to the other fella, got up, and went out. Before I had said 6 to 8 words, almost a third of that ministerial group had walked out. Before I had 5 minutes of speaking, just what Paul had said, that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision because God had called him to this work. They seen right then where I was going to base my thought, and that wasn't there wasn't one third of the group left. And that's not even giving Christian consideration as a man that would name the name of Jesus Christ. And I say this with respects, but I say it to let it sink in. I had more understanding and better fellowship with a bunch of African witch doctors than I did that group of ministers that morning. They gave more consideration to the word of God. And sometimes that's where we make our mistake. So many people automatically want to jump to the conclusion it's an opinion of the pastor, it's an opinion of the teacher, an opinion when maybe the Holy Ghost is trying to reveal the God's precious word to you, and we shut him off just like that, without giving consideration to God's precious word. Yes. And oh, how we must be careful to make sure we give it full consideration. Yes. It might be odd. It might be strange to us. The text might be something maybe we haven't thought of it in that manner. Maybe we heard it another way. But if the Holy Spirit is trying to straighten us out, because that's why he sent that prophet in this last day, was to wrap up all the loose ends and take out all the confusion. And that prophet brought the word, and that prophet's moved on. But God still has a fivefold ministry here to do the work that he sent them to do, to bring that people to the fullness of the unity of the faith. And by God's grace, he's going to do it just that way. And there's a predestinated people that can look past the man that's on the platform, the same as we looked beyond that Brother Branham's physical form on that platform and seen that it was God speaking to him in this day, the same as it was God speaking through Elijah, through Noah, through Moses, and all of those prophets of old, to bring forth what God was laying upon their heart to speak for that time and place. He says, these ministers hadn't, just as quickly soon they would say something and out they'd go. And that's the way it is. They got their mind made up. And they just don't stay long. That's what they want to know, is one word disagreeing with any petty thing that they believe in, they cannot stay and listen through it. And that's the reason they couldn't believe Jesus Christ at his first advent. And that's the reason they'll miss him in the second. And oh, how cautious we want to be. He says they missed him each time. They always have. And he's revealed himself in Moses, revealed himself in Noah, revealed himself in Elijah and all the prophets. And they missed it each time. Jesus said, which one of your fathers hasn't put the prophets in the tombs out there that they are garnishing now? That's true. It's always been true. And yet in the midst of all this, we're commanded to look unto him at the ends of the world. And sometimes they come in, a man will judge you by what kind of clothes. If you don't wear ministerial clothes and so forth, and then it's out. They won't have nothing to do with you. And sometimes they want to look to what kind of education you have, if you speak your words proper, or if you stand correctly and how you use your nouns and pronouns. He dropped down here, he said, paragraph 33, some people, when they looked at Jesus, they look and they see him. They look and they look at him, and then they see him, and they see him, and only a church founder or a church organizer or maybe a creed for a church. That's what many people look at to Jesus to see. He isn't just a new creed that was added to an old doctrine, and now many people look and see him like that. But some look and see him as a myth, like Santa Claus, or some of them look at some historical act that God did many years ago, and some of them look at him as yet a babe in the manger. But the question is, what do you see when you look at him? Do you see the second person of the Trinity, or do you see a Trinity, three in one? You'll only see him as you look at him through the Word. That's the only way you know it, because he is the Word, and it revealed himself. It depends on what you're looking for. And if you look to him to argue, then you're looking wrong. He didn't argue. He wasn't meet for him to argue. Remember, you see him as you look at him through his word and recognize him. And you cannot see him until your eyes are open to the fact. Two men can look at the same scripture and disagree. And one of them has to be right and the other one wrong. And sometimes there is things that's happening around us that we cannot understand. Others are saying these, say they see things, and others see nothing about it. But look at Dothan down there, when Elijah had been surrounded by that Syrian army, and his faithful servant Gehazi, who lived with him, waited for him, cooked for him, kept his clothes clean and poured water on his hands, was right with him day and night, listened to him teach and preach. And that morning, when he woke up, he looked and seen that Syrian army all around. He said, my father, alas, look at the opposition. We have the whole Syrian army. You see, Elijah, when he rose up and looked, he saw something that Gehazi didn't see. And so he prayed, and God opened this young man's eyes, and his eyes were wide open. But he said, open his eyes that he might see. And when his eyes spiritually came open, the whole mountains was full of chariots of fire and angels all around the prophet. See, it was different when their eyes came open. And that's why we pray, Lord, give us eyes, salve, every day. Don't let me draw my own conclusion. Don't let me draw from this what I think. But Lord, open my eyes to heaven, sink it deep into my heart in a manner that I will know it was revealed from you, Lord, and it anchors. And then watch it vindicate itself and bring forth life. Yes. Oh my, it's just so reassuring to see that when God opens your eyes, when you let God reveal the word and watch it take your life over. You know, many people, you can be quoted the scripture. Even think of Jesus as he was teaching them, disciples, quoting to them back through the scriptures, and taught them all about himself. And still, their eyes were holding, even though he was expounding on it and pointing it out. They were still just not seeing it. But oh, when he broke that bread and opened their eyes that they could see, Oh, then it was all dead in our hearts burn within us as we was hearing those words. There was something there. It was already there churning, but all when he opened their eyes, it was, amen, that's it, I see it. And watch the results it brought in their life. It wasn't no more sadness. There wasn't no more drooping and all we thought he was. No, we know he was. And oh my, their life generated and showed forth the results that their eyes had been opened and they could see who he was then. Oh my, may this precious word do the very thing for us. May our lives be a true reflection that our eyes have been opened to what God has been revealing that he would do through a people in this last age. What the Holy Ghost would do inside of a person. How it would bring their body under subjection to this word. Their thoughts, their tongue, everything about our beings controlled in a prisonership of love by this precious word. And watch God get the glory from it. Amen. Oh my, I pray you follow along with a few things. Amen. That's good enough. That's been about 25 minutes. That's good. But amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. But I want you to think about that. Amen. Hold open your heart and let God reveal the word to us. Many of us have walked different paths. We've had different opportunities. We've heard different things. But don't shut God off by something we might have heard a long time ago. But let's be open, each and every one of us, before the Lord. And Lord, show me. Every day, there's greater and higher heights and greater truths within that precious word. That all, when he reveals it and we see it take place, what a joy it'll bring. Amen. Oh my, isn't he wonderful? Let's stand and sing that together. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Amen. He is so wonderful. You know, I was thinking about where Brother Branham was talking about that little slave that had went around and was telling the other slaves that he was free. And the master called him and had him come up there and said, why do you tell everybody you're free? He said, because Jesus has told me I've been set free from the law of sin and death. And oh, how that master gave him his freedom to go and preach. And oh my, how he brought that to message to many others. And that's the way I feel. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. God's precious word has set me free to worship him. To sit here with a hunger in our hearts, not of a man-made law or a creed, or I got to do this or I'm going to be lost. But he placed a desire and a love in my heart. I pray each one of you have it burning as well. That's reaching back out to him saying, oh, he is so wonderful to me. Amen. Sing it again. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, thus recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Truly is, isn't he? Amen. I couldn't help but to think, as Brother Timothy was closing there, the scripture, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Isn't that just wonderful? I mean, when you're able to see and you're able to receive the word, you see how blessed you are, because you see so many that's not blessed. But no wonder he said those words. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Oh, mine, your ears hear what the Spirit saith. Oh, thank God for his love and mercy. I appreciate him. Just so thankful that he's, by grace and mercy, he's opened my eyes to many things. But I keep praying, open my eyes to many more things. Amen. Give me greater revelation on the word of God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the word of exhortation tonight. And we've
I'm sure each one of us has taken it into our heart, Lord, and opened our doors to our heart to just see what we need tonight, Lord, as a personal individual. And Lord, we believe you've spoke to our hearts by the renewing of the Word of God and renewing our minds back to it. And we do appreciate it. We're so thankful for eyes to see, Lord. And so thankful for that amazing grace. How we appreciate you, Lord. We ask now, Lord, as we come to the close of this service, that we're just, Lord, we'll keep the service coming Sunday open before you. And just ask that you would bless us and bless the word as it comes forth. Keep your hand upon Brother George Smith, Lord, as he travels here. Just let everything go pleasing in your sight, Lord, that you'd have a greater preeminence through what you do and what you bring to us, Lord, and may your blessings come down upon us, that you would just bless us in a mighty way. So just watch over us now as we leave this little building. Keep us safe, Lord, upon the highways, and just bring us back that next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, may your will be done in all things. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Blessed are your eyes. Hallelujah. May God bless you and keep you safe and bring you back again. Amen.